busted into our room. There were 16 armed, guns out, flashlights out.
Many people in Tuscaloosa remember the infamous drug bust from last winter. On the morning of February 19th, 2013, police arrested 74 people, including 61 students at the University of Alabama, for drug-related charges. I talked to two different students who are going to remain anonymous. They were arrested that morning, and they took me through exactly what happened.
I don't know why they used so much force. They came in with guns and stuff, so they handcuffed us, searched the place again, didn't read us our rights.
The arrest became somewhat of a heated debate among students on campus. Some felt like they were justified, and some didn't. But like all controversial stories, it died off. The subject matter left our minds, and so did the people arrested. But here at the Capstone News, we got curious. We wanted to find out what happened to those students who were arrested, what happened to their charges, and whether they got to stay on campus. It turns out that most of them became part of a university-run program called Back on Track. Track is spelled T-R-A-C, which stands for Treatment, Responsibility, and Accountability on Campus. The program is in its first year, so we set out to find out more about it, what it is, whether or not it's unique to the University of Alabama, and if it was a reactionary program. Both the students I talked to took part in the program and tell me what they think it is in their own words.
So I think the program is a way to kind of, not scold, but a kind of apprehend the people that got in trouble, not too harshly, but still a program that says we're taking interest so that you can stay here.
I guess it's all just like staying on good terms with the university. I mean, everybody, we messed up, you know, so I guess we gotta, do our time.
Adam Downs and Todd Borst are the men who really spearheaded Back on Track, and I got a chance to sit down with them and really learn about the program and how it came about. It allows students the opportunity to seek help concerning drugs and alcohol. If the student needs additional help, the program can use its resources to seek out other means of rehabilitation. Borst describes the program's objective as such.
The goal is, at this point, is that all students that have a drug offense on campus will go to Dr. Downs in their area for a clinical assessment and evaluation to help determine the right need and educational programming for that student.
I needed to find out if Back on Track is unique to our university. Well, Dr. Downs told me that Colorado State was actually the guinea pig for the program. The masterminds behind the program conducted a 5-year pilot study on Colorado State's campus, and the results were astounding. The retention rate of their students was over 75%. The students' grades went up, and they were more involved on campus. And the program saved about $1 million per year in tuition money because the students were ultimately staying in school. Downs was brought in by UA a year and a half ago to create programs for students, and he tells me why the Back on Track program really caught his eye.
Before I ever try to reinvent the wheel, I always try to look and see what else is out there. This was out there, it was evidence-based, it was very successful. It withstood the test of time in a 5-year pilot study. It works well in academia, so it was really kind of a no-brainer to go ahead and start talking to Colorado State, learning more about it, getting it implemented.
Alabama isn't even the only school in the SEC to adopt the Back on Track program. So far, Florida, Georgia, and Texas A&M are all working to implement the system. Although the program isn't completely unique to the University of Alabama, it's not an exact replica of what Colorado State had. It was tweaked to fit our needs, and there is something that they do that really sets us apart.
The one interesting thing, though, is what this university is going to do that other universities have not done is partnership with the court system.
This partnering with the courts brings us back to the students in February. Downs and Bohr say this was not a reactionary program, that a program of this magnitude couldn't be built overnight. Rather, it was in the works for months, and the arrest put gas on the fire to really get the program moving forward.
It brought attention to a topic that's not exactly a positive for this university and gave us the momentum and the ability to get to seek the resources to continue this program, to build it, staff it, facilitate it, and get it here.
And so students were given a choice.
They say you can go to the Back on Track program, or we can just refer you back to Judicial Affairs and they'll deal with you.
Borst says this is all for the student's benefit.
We are concerned to take the stress level off the student and collaborate with our counterparts in the municipal, district, and circuit courts.
Each student was looked at and separated into one of three levels, called Day 2, Day 3, and Day 4, Day 4 being the most extreme and for the people with the largest charges. DAY stands for Drugs, Alcohol, and You. From there, they will participate in meetings, attend mandatory study hours, and take an hour-long class a week. They have weekly drug tests, and every Friday, they have an open case review before a judge who will determine whether to reward them, further sanction them, or even dismiss them and return them to the courts. If a student realizes they need further rehabilitation, Back on Track will use their resources to accommodate them.
I have a really good friend, and he was in my recovery night classes and all that stuff, who's going to more meetings because he's realized that, man, I really do actually need some help. And it's because of the Back on Track program that he realizes this and that he's actually getting his life together.
The main thing about the Back on Track program that really separates it from other forms of rehabilitation is that it's only open to students. The hope is that this community of peers will lead to more effective treatment. Downs and Bors tell me that the program has been a pleasant success in its first year.
So everyone in this program, I think, has made some bad decisions or participating in a lot of high risk, but that I believe are not so far down that path that they can't, with a little bit of structure and a little bit of help and some monitoring, re-engage in a different lifestyle.
Crucial work, community. And these students that participate in this program have bonded together and developed their own, they've developed a community of support and respect and honor of each other. We've got students that are tutoring other students. Mm-hmm. We've got students that are backing each other up, giving each other rides, picking them up on a bad day, giving them a high five. We've got some students that have just, like you said, have embraced a recovery lifestyle that when they call you and they celebrate 6 months of sobriety, tells you, you know what? There was a difference made here. And I think we're creating students that a lot of people wrote off, and we're taking them by storm. I mean, we're surprising them.
From here, they will seek grants so that they can continue to improve the program and create even more of a drug-free culture on campus. I'm Patrick Brickman, reporting.